Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Okay, as always on a Thursday evening at this time, John Giles has joined us in studio. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So, after the horror show of Tuesday night, we're not going to the World Cup finals. Was 5-1 a fair reflection on the gap between the two teams?
Well, it was on the night. I wouldn't say it was a fair reflection overall of the standard of both teams. It was just a bad night. You know, you've got to give them credit, I think, in the way they approached the match. And they did say before the match, oh, no, we've gone out here to play. And my take on it was, I thought it was a wasted opportunity on Saturday in the manner in which we played. We had no intention of scoring. We defended very well, but we had no intention of scoring. We were giving the ball away very, very easily. So, I think the feeling is, well, a no-score draw away from home is great. It's not always great. There's nothing wrong with scoring as well as defending very well. So I thought we lost an opportunity there because this wasn't like the group stages where it was a knockout competition. You know, they had I think we lost the advantage, any advantage we could have, by getting an away goal. They were coming here with no score against them, so they had the advantage that stage of having 90 minutes to score the goal. And I fancied them to do it. I didn't fancy them to do it in the manner in which they did. I didn't see a 5-1 from any distance, but I fancied them to do it because they did have this advantage and they weren't scared of it. You know, they were coming here to play football, play well and score goals. We went to Denmark, in my opinion, to get the no-score draw. And on paper, it looks great. But as it happened, I thought it was a missed opportunity.
Well, they sensed correctly, as it turned out, that if they scored once over here, which they were very confident of doing, that we were always going to struggle to score twice.
Yeah.
On the formations then, because, all right, Denmark made a couple of personnel changes last night, but by and large played the same system. We had a fairly radical overhaul of our system, even though David Myler in for Callum O'Dowda was the only change. When you have games coming together so quickly, in hindsight, obviously it's not, but when they are together so quickly, is it difficult for players to play two markedly different systems?
Well, I don't think the systems were that. You know, I to be honest, Nate, I don't believe in the systems. I mean, the thing for any manager, whatever it might be, the main tactic, actually, is picking the right players in the right position. And obviously, that hasn't happened under Martin's managership. So when we saw the team on, it was pretty much the same team. I think O'Dowda was the only one, and Myler came in for him. So there wasn't too much change in that. So you'd have to say, well, Martin's looked at it. He's been in the job for 3 years. This is a huge match. This is my best team for the start in the game. Now, that's fair enough. That's Martin's decision. A lot of people didn't agree with it. I a lot of people thought, well, Houlihan should be playing. But anyway, that was his decision, and he's the manager. But what was worrying was that at halftime when we were 2-1 down, I thought there were two drastic changes. You know, Myler, who's the captain, is off, and Arthur's off. Houlihan is on now, along with McGeady, who hasn't played for ages. This is a drastic change from a team that you pick 45 minutes earlier as your best team in this particular game. And I think Martin said, well, we're looking for goals. Well, you know, we were looking for goals before the match started as well. So I think that led to the humiliation, to be honest, in the end, the 5-1 situation. It certainly didn't help anyway.
Why do you think he went with this diamond formation with Harry Arthur seemingly playing quite deep, David Myler, who we'd sort of grown accustomed to playing in that deep role, playing a little bit more wide on the right? When you're looking at the way the game panned out, could you get a sense of what Martin O'Neill was trying to do?
Well, I'm not so much bothered about the systems. It's when the game starts. I mean, people talk about 4-3-3 and things, but if you stop the game mid-game, you'd see they wouldn't be in. People take up positions where the ball is. They only start in that position, so I wouldn't be too bothered about that. But when they're in those positions, now you have to play. And we started well. We got a great start on it. You know, the free kick. Moyes scored another goal. But then we didn't keep possession of the ball. They got better and better. They were very good. I mean, their attitude coming into this game was away from home. So what? The pitch is good. The pitch is beautiful. We're going to play. And it wasn't PR stuff when they were saying, actually, we don't mind playing away from home.
Yeah.
You know, we don't mind a no score because we're quite confident that we're going to score. Now, when we were going to Denmark, we didn't have that attitude. I think the attitude, the general perception was, we get a no score draw here. This is going to be a great result. So I think, you know, my theory is, and I know I'm old fashioned, people call me old fashioned for it. When you play away from home, it's a game of football, Nathan. And if it's there to take it. In other words, we set off, I think, in Denmark. We'd no intentions of scoring. I mean, the only chance we had was Christie's chance from the fullback. Mm. Otherwise, we were kicking the ball away. We were doing things that lads were doing on the pitch that they wouldn't do under club football. And the no score was hailed as a huge success until they come with a different attitude and play really well on a pitch, whether it's home or away, they were competent and beat as well. It finished up a humiliation in the end.
We've seen it a lot with teams coming to Dublin, and they, regardless of their stature in football, they look quite comfortable on the ball. They're able to play it out of the back. You mentioned players not doing what they do at club level. Like Harry Arthur, when he's playing with Bournemouth, is happy to receive the ball, to knock a little ball on. It's so striking when Ireland are playing at home, the nervousness that's there. These little triangles that you do in training that Denmark fly through them. With Ireland, everybody's at full stretch. There's little nicks here.
Yeah.
Why is it? Why is it that the players aren't comfortable?
Well, there's two different things that I think are a bit of myths in football. Away from home, you have to do certain things. At home, you do certain things. Away from home, if you don't get on the ball and you defend well and you get a reasonable result, that's acceptable, right? Where you could play with a bit more freedom and a bit more things, like they did against us. Now, when you come to home, there's a different type of pressure. Now the crowd want you to play and you're supposed to dominate the game. And we haven't had the players on the pitch to do that. And we didn't have the know-how to do it. Maybe the players that were on the pitch, they didn't. So there's more pressure actually sometimes playing at home. And if you look at the results, we actually got more points away from home than we did at home.
Mm.
And when you start the competition, people say, oh, a point away from home and three at home, that's the way to do it. Didn't happen. Doesn't happen that way.
We don't win the home games.
And we don't win the away games. You know, well, we won with Austria, we won. We did well against Wales when we had to win. But if you go back to the first match of the season, the competition against Serbia, you know, when we were going there, it was, oh, Serbia's a fortress, and if we got a point here, it'd be great, great point. And actually, Serbia weren't doing well at the time. We went up, one up after 2 minutes and couldn't handle it. You know, we went 2-1 down, nearly went 3-1 down in the match before we started to get at them again. So in other words, in my opinion, when I played football, and Don Reeve was a bit careful as well, draw away from home. I saw us playing matches that we should have won away from home. You never get better than a draw
if that's all you're aiming for.
Yeah. And like playing at home then becomes, as we've seen, it becomes a different type of pressure. Now you have to dominate the game and be creative in what you're doing. That's what the home team wants you to do. Right? And we haven't been able to do that. I mean, that's why a lot of people, myself included, would want Wes Hoolan to play. I mean, Wes Hoolan is not a world-class player, but he's the best we've got at doing what he does, which is to create something. And he's hardly played. And I think you could have that type of approach away from home. In other words, you defend. Like when we played in Denmark, we defended well, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you get the ball, there's nothing wrong with
trying to
construct and score a goal. There's nothing wrong with scoring a goal away from home. Like, we surrendered that. But anyway, I think the way it finished up, I thought Denmark were favourites coming into the match because they had the advantage then, now, of scoring the next. I didn't see them scoring 5 goals. I didn't see us collapsing the way we did.
Talking about the players who were on the pitch and been able to get the ball down and take control of it and having the technique to take the ball in and pass it on. At club level, it seems as though Robbie Brady can do that. Jeff Hendrick can do that. Is it the uncertainty around the tactics, around the formation, around the personnel, that nobody is quite sure of themselves, that people won't take that risk, as we saw over in Copenhagen? Harry Arthur just booted it 50 yards every time he got it. Is that an uncertainty? Because they seem to change things in every single game.
It doesn't help when you're changing. Obviously, it doesn't help when you're, because you don't get a rhythm going in it. Like in Denmark, there's no doubt. I mean, we were playing for a draw. We're going to defend. And like, even when we had opportunities to use the ball without taking any risks, I don't believe in taking risks on it. It was never there. Like, Arthur was kicking the ball away. Duffy was kicking the ball away, giving it back. And actually, the best way to defend is having the ball, with an opportunity to score, and that wasn't there. And but if you look at the difference with Denmark coming here, like, they didn't care whether it was home and away. They actually played well, and I didn't think there was such a good side in Denmark, to be quite honest. And I think we made them the other night better than they actually are, the way we played.
Would there have been anything to be said for actually just going with the same attitude as we had in Copenhagen and not taking any risks and trying to keep it tight?
Well, you're never going to score, Nathan. You know, like, this was, don't forget, this wasn't a points system. Mm. I mean, even if we did what we did, the best you get would be a penalty shootout.
But you do in Wales, and you have a bit of a smash and grab, and you steal a goal somewhere.
Yeah, but you're often about the attitude of, you see, you're saying if we went to played in Aviva the way we played
in Copenhagen,
well, we never tried to score in Copenhagen. We never looked like scoring. I think Christie was the only chance we have. Now, if you play like that, even at your home, you're still not going to score. So the best you get out of that is going to extra time in a penalty shootout. And I don't think that was ever going to happen. I don't think any manager in the Irish team was going to do that, because you're playing at home. You're supposed to have the home advantage, the crowd behind you. That's all everybody talks about, you know, the home advantage. Mm. And, you know, if you play, as you suggest, for a draw after extra time, I don't think you can do that at home. The crowd would go mad for a start. And I don't think it'd be the right way, because they would still have a chance of scoring.
4 years into Martin O'Neill's time in charge, and we're 18 months now since Euro 2016, do you think he knows what his best 11 is?
I don't know. I don't think he ever... You would assume in a match as important as last night's match was, that this would be the best team. But there's never been a consistency about selection. I think Martin believes, I think this is what he believes, I don't know, I'd play this team for this particular match. I don't think he has a best team for every situation. You know, I mean, Dowd is the last name, and played on Saturday. Well, to be quite honest, I don't know if he's played a competitive match before.
Yeah, he played, I think, the one over in Moldova, and that was it.
Well, Moldova, but I don't think you know what he's going to do in this match against Denmark, one of the most important matches we ever had. You know, you just don't know what he's going to do. And I think after a few years, then when you're playing in the really, really big matches like that, then you have to know, this is the team, this is definitely my best team. And if they play long, all together, then you have them better organised. Because obviously if you make changes, then there's new lads coming in. It's very difficult to get organised in a way that teams should be organised. Mm. I mean, my taking is that as a manager, you get a group of players, you find out as quickly as possible in what, in your opinion, is the best 11. I mean, that's 90% of tactics, picking the best players in your best position. And after that, you play them as much as you possibly can, because you never get it right with the team that you've got. If you're going to organise them doing this, there's always a mistake here you get. And that's what managers do. They get better and better and better because they eliminate mistakes as much as you can. Now, if you're playing with a different team all the time, then you're starting from scratch all the time.
O'Neill's attitude throughout his managerial career always seems to have been, you're footballers. Yeah. This is your job.
Yeah.
Go and play football.
Yeah.
How much teaching, how much coaching do you need? It's not many, certainly not many modern managers who are like that. When you were back playing, would you have enjoyed a manager saying,
well, we had a manager doing that for 44 days.
Yeah.
And that's as long as he lasted.
Yeah.
Now, he went on to have great success doing what he did. I wouldn't agree with that, to be quite honest. I think that there should be, you know, after every match, this is what you do. You learn from it, you learn from it, you learn from it. But what happens as well, I think, in management, it's great to be given as much coaching as you can, as long as it's the right coaching. Okay? Now, there's a lot of managers out there who talk a lot of rubbish. They talk forever with the coach and confuse the players. Now, in my opinion, you're better saying too little than too much, right? But there's a balance to it. There's definitely a balance that this could be put right, that could be right. And I think the only way you get that balance is the consistency of selection.
Would you have gone into games nervous because of the lack of preparation?
Well, I was very lucky. You see, I played with Leeds United for 12 years, 11 years under Don Revie. And that's the last thing you could accuse him of. Probably sometimes over-preparation. but certainly never, ever a lack of, week from week. And don't forget, you were playing the same team in those days. You had a squad of 16. So you're playing with the same players nearly every match, apart from injuries. I mean, Shankly used to say in those days, the less players I have to bring into the team, the better chance we have of winning the league. Because you get used to playing with each other. You know what the players can do. And if you have the same players every week, say the right back is not in the right position, you put it right. Put the left back right. You put all different. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Like, for example, the other night, we lost the first goal from a short corner kick.
Mm.
Now, that shouldn't happen.
Well, especially when in Copenhagen, every corner kick that Denmark got, they either took short or definitely had a second player out there as an option.
Yeah, well, exactly. Shankly used to say things in football. When the ball goes dead, you come alive. And what's good for you is bad for the opposition. What's bad for the opposition is good for you. So if you get a corner kick, it should be, I think, from the start, we get a short corner, we get two out. And if they don't react, then we take advantage of it. If they do react, you've lost nothing. Right? But the priority, when they get a corner kick, is the priority, not getting back into position, the priority is we don't let them take a short corner kick, because it's more dangerous than the direct corner kick. Right? Because when you take a short corner kick, what it does, it gives the players in the box an opportunity to lose their marker. That's generally what it is. So you never let it happen. Right? If they go asleep, we take advantage of it, but we don't go asleep. Now, 10 minutes before the goal was scored on the short corner kick, we did go asleep, and they nearly scored from it. That was a warning. The second one was a short corner kick, and they did score from it. Right? That shouldn't happen. I mean, you go back to the Scottish match a couple of years ago. So that was from a short corner kick. So that should never happen. As soon as the ball goes dead, you said, there's no way they're going to take advantage of us. Right? Because I've seen some matches, not with us, but with other teams, where the ball goes out of play and the defenders turned their back on it and drug back to the goal net. Right, and players don't take advantage of it because they don't have two out there. Like, as soon as that happens, you should let them, if they go asleep, let them go asleep.
Yeah,
you turn their back on it. You take your short corner kick and you're in the edge of the box before you know it. Right, that, in other words, that's what you do, but you don't let them do that to you.
We've had Martin O'Neill's former players from his time at Leicester, from his time at Celtic, saying didn't really practice set pieces. But when you look at the way Ireland set up for those set pieces, it doesn't seem as though it was a lack of practice. It seems as though it was a conscious decision not to put two players out there, to hold Jeff Hendrick back.
I don't think that would be a conscious decision to do it. What would be the fault is that they weren't, that was the priority rather than getting back into position. And that wasn't drilled into them, obviously, because if it was drilled into them, they wouldn't do it. You know, that's the way football is. Like, players will, sometimes you have to drill players, this is what I want you to do. You insist on you doing that. Or else the natural inclinations will turn the back in the ball and get back into the defensive position. So they have to be told that and insisted, this is what you've got to do.
Mm. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You can get your text in, 53106. John Giles is staying with us. We're going to delve a little bit deeper into Tuesday night's result.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
You're very welcome back. John Giles is still with us in studio on this Thursday evening. Just then on that corner situation, as part of a greater point, a lot of the coaching now in the Premier League seems to be certainly it's intense and of a reasonably high standard, where players get a lot of instruction as to what they're doing. And players like Robbie Brady, Jeff Hendrick, who've come up and are with Burnley and have come up through the underage system and have been told their entire career, do this, do this, do this. A lot of instruction, not having to think for themselves. Is that part of the problem here, that these players aren't used to taking on responsibility?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Nathan, if they're told at clubs. That might be what I said early on. You better tell them too little than too much. I don't know what happens to the clubs. And it could be that the players told, well, you do this in every step. You can't do that with players. The reason players are players is because they have a natural ability to do something in certain situations. A good player will make the right decision. A bad player will make it. That's what makes him a bad player, and that's what makes him a good player. So you can't tell anybody what to do. When you're playing in a match like that, say Brady, for example, when you get the ball, I want you to do that. You can't do that. It happens quickly. If he can't do it, then he shouldn't be in the team. That's what makes good players and bad players. I mean, you take it to a logical conclusion with Messi, for example, who's a genius. Right, when he gets the ball, how can you tell Messi what to do? What makes him great is having the ability to do what he wants to do in the right situation. What makes a lesser player is somebody who makes the wrong decision in similar situations. So you can't tell. I think if Burnley are telling players what to do in every situation, that can't be right. But you can tell them general things. You can take them, you know, you can take them, say, shotgun, don't let that happen, throw ins to certain situations, be in the right position when the ball's in the other. You can tell them that. But they're general. You can't tell them what to do on the ball. Be impossible. Well, maybe some managers try to do it, and it's never going to work like that.
When you look back on this entire campaign then, and looking at the players that Martin O'Neill has he got the most out of this group?
Probably not. I think, I say Serbia, I go back to Serbia when we scored after 2 minutes. Serbia actually didn't have a good team. The goalkeeper was the worst goalkeeper I've ever seen, and they were bad at the back. Now, Serbia finished up a point ahead of us in the thing. Haven't beaten us in Dublin as well. So I think there's a thing, you know, I don't think there's any great teams out there. And a lot of people say, we haven't got the players. Well, we haven't got world-class players, but you have to make the best of the players that you've got. And I think in some of the matches, we did. Some of the matches, we didn't. I mean, Georgia away was a dreadful performance. Austria away was very, very good. Wales was good defensively, but looked for a goal as well. So there were good performances, but it was very mixed. I don't think there was any consistency about our performances. You know, halfway through the campaign, I think we were 4 or 5 points ahead, and we only took 2 points from the home matches, for example. So people would say, you know, when you start off, draw away, win at home. That's the way to do it. In fact, we did the opposite.
That inconsistency has been a hallmark of O'Neill's time in charge, because it was very similar in the previous campaign as well for the European Championship qualification.
They all have a go. The one thing about the Irish lads under Martin O'Neill, they have a go. No matter what team he picks, now they have a go. Now that's it. That sounds easy, but they're a good group of lads, and they have whatever they want them to do. They have a go at doing it. But if you know, if you look at if you got an inconsistency of selection, then so obviously sometimes you're going to get an a problem for consistency. But I think you know, I believe that you pick your best team and you play them in all the matches that you possibly can, and it's been mixed. You know, some of the performances away from home were very good. Austria away from home, there wasn't a consistency, especially. Again, you go back to playing at home, where you need players to take more responsibility than you do away from home. Because when you're playing away from home, the crowd wants you to make mistakes. They're going to be delighted. When you're playing at home, they expect you to play well, and as they say nowadays, on the front foot. And they get disappointed. And we haven't had the attitude of getting on the ball and playing a bit more. That's why there's been a call for Wes Houlihan all the time, because he's the best we've got at that.
It was quite noticeable as the game wore on that the players were getting on each other's backs, and which is something unusual because they've always seemed like they were quite a tight group. Would you read anything into that?
Well, it's not good. You know, I think it's easy to stick together when you're winning. I mean, where the real character comes into teams, really good teams, but it's sticking together when you're losing. I didn't notice it that much, to be honest. You know, maybe there were a few occasions I'd say there was frustration involved in that, because they knew the way the game was going. But I certainly wouldn't expect them to get onto each other. I definitely wouldn't expect that.
The way the international calendar is changing now, we're 18 months away from the next European Championship qualifiers. There's a European Nations Cup in between all that. Martin O'Neill still hasn't signed his contract. I just have a feeling we're going to be here in 18 months before the first qualifier, and probably having the same conversations. Like, do you see any way that Martin O'Neill can change or has to change to somehow get the best from this group?
I don't think so. I think Martin does it the way Martin does it, and he does it like all managers do it, in their own unique way. I mean, in my position, you know, I'm an analyst, to say, or a pundit. I'm entitled, my opinion, to do or say what I think. Feel some things I don't agree with Martin doing, some things I do agree with him doing. But you know, the manager has to make decisions. That is decisions. You live or die by the decisions that you make. And I think in the last couple of matches, I didn't expect the humiliation of yesterday. I don't think anybody expected that. But I thought the attitude in Denmark was wrong in such an important match, and I thought the team selection wasn't correct for this particular match.
He, described the goals, the first couple of goals, as sloppy, said there was some comical defending for some of the later goals there. Didn't seem to take on any great responsibility himself in the post-match interviews. As a player, do you just have to accept that, that they were sloppy, that they did make bad mistakes?
Well, the players know themselves, Nathan. You know, you know when you make a mistake in that situation. But, you know, to be critical to Martin, I mean, the short corner kick was a crucial goal. It was the first goal, you know. That wasn't down to the players making a mistake. I think that was down to lack of organisation and allowing them to take the short corner kick. We had a warning before, 10 minutes before that. We had a big warning in Scotland, what, 2 or 3 years ago. No, you have to learn from that. Make sure that's not going to happen again.
Like, that seems ridiculous that 3 years later, well, that we're conceding such a simple goal in such an important game.
Yeah, well, it is as it is. I mean, I only can say it as I see it.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. It's not my... I mean, there's other things that would be your opinion. My opinion might be about Houlihan should play, the man is about his opinion. You've got to respect that. But what I'm talking about, the short corner kick now, it's not opinion. That's a fact. That's what happened. That's what we lost the goal from. And we lost, Norman lost the goal before that. And what I'm saying is that shouldn't happen.
You've mentioned Wes a couple of times. If Wes plays, do Ireland play in a totally different manner?
Well, yeah, because he's... I mean, first of all, if you want to play well, you have to get on the ball and use it in a creative manner on different occasions. And if Wes Hoolan is the best at that we have in the squad, right? And if he's not playing, then the other players are not as good at it as he does. And without a creative presence in midfield, you're not going to play well. Because the midfield player in that position is the contact between the back and the front. And if you're going to have anybody in the middle of the field, then the ball is going to go long. And when it goes long, it's to the advantage of the opposition. There's no doubt about that.
Would you have thought Hendrick or Brady would have taken on that sort of role?
I don't think you're capable of it, you know? I'd say that you might say, right, this is what I want you to do. But actually, Wes Hoolan can do it in a natural way.
Mm.
And that's what he does. That's what he's good at. You know, the other players that you mentioned are good at other different. That's how you get a team. You get a balance that he does that well, he does that well. And what I said before, that there's no doubt, Hoolan is the best at creating and being creative than any of the other players that we've got.
We may not see Wes Hoolan in a green jersey again. Talk of 5-6 players retiring, and people are understandably very down after last night's result with the lack of players coming through. When you look at Ireland and the state of Irish football right now, are you concerned about where we're heading over the next few years?
Well, obviously you'd want more players coming through, Nathan. You know, there's no doubt you'd want outstanding players. We'll just have to wait and see. Are there any coming through in the next year or two? It doesn't look like it at the moment, which is a worry. There's no doubt about that. There's not many players coming into the game as there used to be before. But you could look around Europe, most of the world, and that's happening as well. Only we're a small population country. So look, if you look at the England team, you know, if you look for a really top-class midfield player in England, they haven't got one. And they're a country of 60 million or whatever it is in England. And it is, look at Holland, for example. Didn't even qualify. This is one of the great nations ones. Huh? So I think there are a lack of outstanding players coming into most countries. And of course, the countries with the smaller population is going to suffer more than anybody else. And we're one of those.
One of the changes they made in Europe was to split the games over consecutive nights. And I think once upon a time when all the games were played the same night, we thought that international football was this incredible thing that was happening elsewhere and we were suffering through it.
Yeah.
Whereas, as you're saying, now when you sit down and you watch the other games,
yeah,
you do realise that if you can play somewhat above your ability, it can take you an awful long way. And
well,
Martin O'Neill...
Sometimes not above your ability, to your ability, Nathan. You know, we're as good as any team that we've played in this group, apart from last night when we got a hiding and Denmark went in. None of them were better than us. None of them. We got more points away from home than that place is supposed to be afforded. But we were ahead of Serbia at one time. We were beaten at home by Serbia. But none of them, if you look at any of them, you watched all the matches, which of them were outstanding? You know, Wales was supposed to be great. We beat Wales away. Drew Wales home, took a lot of points off them. You know, Serbia, before we played them in the first minute, had a terrible time. They only got 8 points trying to qualify for the Euros. I mean, there aren't any great teams out there. We got a hiding last night. There's no doubt against Denmark. They were a different class to us. But that wasn't a normal performance. If you go to Georgia, the teams we played in Georgia, Wales, Serbia, Austria. Austria was supposed to be very good, and we played well in Austria and beat them. So I don't think there's any great teams out there. I think we always say, oh, we're the underdogs. We don't want to be. We don't have to be underdogs. You know, go and play. Play with the best we possibly can. And I think if we play as well as we possibly can. We're as good, if not better, than the teams that we were in the draw with.
Martin O'Neill would say we were fourth seeds. We finished second in the group. We overachieved to get to that stage.
I don't believe that.
Should he stay on? Should he sign this new two-year deal?
Well, he's got to make up his own mind what's good for him. Don't forget, he was offered the contract before we beat Wales, so you can't go back on that. I mean, he's had some success, as we know. We qualified for the Euros. We qualified for a playoff. I don't see that success, actually, in qualifying from the... I think we could have done better in the qualifying groups. But it's, you know, that's a decision Martin has to make himself. I mean, it's up to him. He's been offered a contract. So for another 2 years, I think. And I believe he's thinking about it now, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what he said after the game last night. We shall wait and see. It certainly looks as though Martin O'Neill is sticking around. John, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Thanks, Nathan.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.